This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And we're joined by Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate, newspaper of record in Louisiana. And it's the final day of the legislative session. And Mark Ballard is covering the Capitol with Ernest. That's where he is. He made his way through this inclement weather, and that's an understatement. And good morning to you, Mark Ballard.
Good morning, Jim. I haven't quite made it all the way through to the Capitol yet. It's been an odyssey.
Yeah. It's very interesting out there. A little too much, but be safe while you're talking with us then. But Mark Ballard, okay. Winners and losers this session with a few hours to go. How do you view it?
Well, today they're going to be dealing mostly with the budget. They have to. It's been in conference for about 3 days now, and so they're going to. They were about $20 million apart, and there's still the issue of whether they're going to fund the public schools fully, and by doing that, they'll be able to give the teachers a pay raise. But that's to be decided sometime later today. We also have the child marriage age that is still out there, and sports betting, which is still out there. They're all being negotiated now.
Any chance that sports betting can be salvaged?
Well, it's on life support. Danny Martini, the senator from Metairie, did, and the big supporter of this, was to attach it to the fantasy sports mechanics bill. This is what we voted on last November and was approved in 47 parishes. So what's happened is that they need to have a mechanics bill that, you know, does what the regulation and the taxes are going to be. And Danny Martini successfully attached the legalization of sports betting onto that bill. Kirk Talbot, the representative from River Ridge, says he's going to strip that off on the House floor today, and if they don't come to some sort of an agreement, then we will not have fantasy sports or sports betting. But it's, I guess we're going to have to see how that goes for the rest of the day.
Well, there's a front page story today from your colleague Sam Carlin, who works for Mark at the Capitol, about the ballot for 2020 and measures taken during this session. Have implications next year when we vote for presidents. Senator Bill Cassidy will be up for re-election at the same time. Sharon Weston Broome will be up for re-election. And state voters will go to the polls on the first Tuesday in November next year to vote for president. And they'll also be voting for or against, if they so choose, a ballot measure asking them to decide whether to enshrine anti-abortion language in the state constitution. It's interesting that this is on the 2020 November ballot.
Yeah, that caused a lot of stir yesterday when they actually voted it. We're debating on the vote in the Senate. What the talk is that they wanted to try to pull it off the 2019 ballot, where it would be influencing in the governor's race, and put it on the 2020 ballot. At least that's what the talk says. And they succeeded in doing that. So now it will be in a much larger turnout race, and it will be, while we're voting for president, we'll also be voting whether to put an abortion ban in the Constitution should Roe v. Wade be overturned in the U.S. Supreme Court. And the idea here is that if it's overturned, then it all goes back to the states. And what they wanted to, the supporters of this amendment want to do is to have it enshrined in the Constitution, so that courts in the future will not be able to say it's not enshrined mm-hmm. in the Constitution. Therefore, there's a legal way for abortions to continue.
All right, and Ted James, who was with us earlier, noted this child marriage bill, and Mark has a story about it, and this is going into the final hours. Mark, in his story today, describes it as a fight between country club Republicans who are backing a minimum wage of 17 and country Republicans who don't want any minimum age. They may not want any minimum wage either, but they don't want a minimum age on marriage. Heaven forbid. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah. Well, I think it's all going to be decided on who that third member of the House Conference Committee is going to be. The House Speaker said that he would make that announcement early this morning if everybody can get into the Capitol. And then they'll basically have until 6 o'clock to come up with a deal and get it passed by both chambers so that it can be sent on to the governor. Right now you have, and I wasn't the one that came up with country club versus country Republicans, but right now you have the country Republicans for the most part saying they don't want to have any minimum age, that marriage should be protected regardless of the age. And then you have the country club Republicans who are saying they'd rather have it 18, but they'll accept 17. And the sponsor of the bill, Von Colomb, from here in Baton Rouge, is saying, you know, I'll take any minimum age down to 15 if necessary.
Well, we have a history of this in our state, and I noted a few weeks ago when we had Susan Nelson, who's involved with this issue, on the show, that Frances Swaggart, the wife of Jimmy Swaggart, was married at 15, and she and Brother Jimmy have been married for 67 years now, so sometimes it works out.
Sometimes it does, but the statistics show that teenage marriages end in divorce about 60% of the time, which is far above older marriages, marriages when people are older. Mm-hmm. And that's something to consider. The other thing to consider is that we're not talking about a whole lot of marriages that will be impacted. I believe, and I'm sorry because I'm not in the office, but the numbers are very small compared to the numbers of marriages.
All right.
Overall in the state.
877-217-5757 in our remaining time with Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief from the Advocate. Holly in the Garden District notes that our fearless leader, President Donald John Trump, was married once in his 30s and once in his 40s, and both of those ended in divorce. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
I have wet socks on, Jim. I am living in a no-wake zone now. Jefferson Terrace is flooded, and water is going into people's houses from people driving too fast in the streets. I'm bringing sandbags home, and pray for us and the levee doesn't break. Love you guys. Thank you.
All right. Well, that could be a big story if this stuff doesn't stop. We saw that happen in 2016, and the forecast indicates that it will stop. Let's hope they are right, Mark Ballard, because it's
seems
bad.
It seems in my drive from the Garden District that a lot of the streets are blocked, but that the water seems to be going down now that the rain has kind of slowed up a little bit.
Well, it's a mess. Another listener, Tracy at the Capitol, asks about this trade a war that the president has launched against Mexico. Even Republicans on Capitol Hill like Ted Cruz are slamming the president of the United States. He warns, I'm reading from the New York Times yesterday, that if this happens, it'll be a $30 billion tax increase on Texans, and he mentions that farmers will be hit particularly hard. It could have some implications in Louisiana as well, but I don't know that our delegation has said much about this, Mark Ballard.
The only thing that I've seen is John Kennedy, and he had a basically was supportive of the Republican senators who are very much against this idea, but didn't go out and call Trump names like some of them did. It will have a massive impact in Texas and in Michigan, both states that the president won last time around. You're talking about a 5% increase, which would turn into 10 to 15% more that we pay for cars and vegetables and all that sort of thing.
Another listener notes that Senator Kennedy recently said that Democrats need to go to Amazon and buy a spine. That from our junior senator from Louisiana. William in Opelousas. William. Hi, William. You're on with Mark Ballard.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Mark. I don't know about the minimum age for marriage. I can tell you this, that I was 19 when I got married. My wife was 16, and the Lord spare our life. January, we'll be married 50 years. So I guess this is you work on it or not.
There you go. There you go. But some folks believe that 16 is a little too young, and that if you had waited, you'd be okay too. But sometimes people are so overwhelmingly in love, Mark, that that conquers all. At least that's what I hear.
It is. It is. I mean, this is not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. Look, my grandmother, at least one of my grandmothers, was 14 when she got married, but that was 100 years ago. And so times have kind of changed, and that's kind of what Senator Colom is pointing out.
Maybe we ought to have a maximum age for marriage, too.
Well, as I'm approaching maximum age, I'm not so sure that that's a great idea, though I'm happily married and plan to be that way for 30 more years.
There you go. And another listener notes that Edwin Washington Edwards got married well into his 80s. And seems to be doing okay, and I think his child Eli on August 1st will be 6 years old. So sometimes love right. can do wonderful things in people's lives, and our former governor is a perfect example of that. Mark Ballard, we'll let you saunter on into the Capitol, and it should be an interesting final day, and I'm sure you're due for some vacation time, but we want to catch up afterward and see what your thoughts are post-mortem as well. Thank you, Mark.
Okay. All right, great. Thanks.